Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
You can wrap this one, my friend, in maroon and white. 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bingo!
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else.
It's Wednesday night. You know what that means. It's Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Rhino in Studio X. He'll make sure everything runs as copacetically as possible. We are presented by Yingling Flight and brought to you by Dossett Big Four. The perfect beer for a Mississippi game day, that's a Yingling Flight. Cold, crisp, but only 95 calories and 2.6 grams of carbs. It is what you want to be drinking in the Junction come game day. So do it. Brew for those who never settle. Yingling Flight. Enjoy responsibly. I want to go on the record. That little throwaway, after we've turned off the camera, Michael Borky coming back in saying Thunderlight, that doesn't count. Jealous eyes, brother. I see you. I see what happened there. You don't want to promote me? That's fine. So be it. Now it's personal. That guy. He's a scalawag. The worst. The worst of the worst. Let's talk some Mississippi State football, and let's talk specifically about the Tennessee game. And we will look back just a little bit here. You know, we're not Jeff Lippe. We don't have to have the best Monday we ever had and move forward. We can look back. Why did Mississippi State lose that game? It really boils down to this, that they made too many mistakes. To beat a team that was better than them. When you're going to pull off an upset, when you're going to beat a team that's better than you, you got to play mistake-free football. And State forced Tennessee mistakes. They had big breaks. They get a muff punt that they recover. They get two interceptions. They got a couple of sacks. Tennessee had a couple of penalties that cost them. But State, every time State had a break go its way, it would give Tennessee a break, and the Volunteers were able to capitalize. I will say this, in however many years of watching football I've got under my belt, I don't remember a game ever swinging the way it did from the fake punt to the strip sack. It's incredible. It went from, I mean, I need to see like the ESPN win percentage. It had to spike both ways. And I thought about this, you know, I mentioned it on the podcast that State would have been better off just going three and out from the fake punt. You fake the punt, everybody's buzzing, run play, incomplete pass, punt it away. That would have been better than what happened. You're almost better off just punting it away instead of faking the punt and converting it. You could almost make the case that you're better off blocking, let them block the punt if they don't score. Really an incredible swing, and that's where the game got away from Mississippi State. And even though they responded, and even though they got back into it, and they tied it up, and they took the lead, whatever, that moment was where, for me, it became like, okay, this is gonna be really tough. I always knew it was going to be tough, but when they faked the punt, I'm thinking, they've been running the ball pretty successfully this whole game. They may just score here and make it 31-20, and that's going to be tough to come back from. And then in one swoop, Tennessee does that. But State just made too many mistakes. And this is what I said on the podcast, and I'll say it again here. Sometimes you just lose to the better team. Sometimes it's not a whole laundry list of what could we have done. Sometimes it's just they were better. Tennessee's a better football team than Mississippi State is. And State made too many mistakes. If State plays a clean game, if they don't have the turnovers, if they don't have some of the penalties, if they don't miss a block here or miss a tackle there, they win. But they did all those things, and so they lose. And for me, I think that I don't want to be moral victory guy. I don't want to be, you know, you can take so much from it. We're going to talk about what you can take from it in just a minute. A year ago, every time Mississippi State stepped on the field after the Toledo game, my thought process going into the game was, they're going to get killed. The only time it wasn't was the UMass game. And I went into that game thinking, maybe it could go bad. But every SEC game they played last year, I was like, they're going to get killed. Now, they didn't always get killed, but it never changed my thought process one time. Then you see State beat Arizona State. That's a good Arizona State team. They're rolling right along in the Big 12. And then you see them go all the way to the wire with this really good Tennessee team that's going to be State. It's going to stay in the playoff discussion the whole year. And now my thought process is they have a chance. They have a chance this weekend. They have a chance against Texas. They have a chance against Georgia. They have a chance against Missouri. They'll have a chance against Ole Miss. Against Florida and Arkansas, I think they got a lot more than a chance. I think they might be a coin flip. I think they might be favored in those games, depending on what happens between now and then. That loss did enough to shake off all of the stench of 2-10 for me. And I feel like this program, I'm not going to say they're back, right? Until they win a game in the SEC, until they snap that losing streak, you can't say they're back, right? You can't. But what you can do is say the program is obviously trending in the right direction. And that Jeff Lebby has done a fantastic job of putting his team in a much better position this year. And some of the decisions that he made at the end of the season have paid off, namely the decision to keep Coleman Hutzler. Defensively, they look a world better. They obviously have more talent, but I got to give Hutzler credit for that, don't I? He's the defensive coordinator. He's recruiting those guys. The decisions to bring in Paul Rhodes and Mike McIntyre seem to have paid off, but I have to give Hutzler credit for that. Sure, Lebby hired them, but you don't think he got his defensive coordinator's opinion on that? Of course he did. Lebby preached continuity, said these guys need a second year in the system, and in doing so, he's got a defense now that can. It's not a defense that goes out and wins games. They're not the 2018 version of Mississippi State. They're not the 1999 version of Mississippi State, but they are good enough to keep you in every game. You're not going to just go out there and just get run over the way they did last year. Last year, State's defense wasn't good enough to keep them in any games. This year, I mean, you give up 41 points, but can you really say that the defense didn't do enough in that game? They forced two turnovers. They got a couple of sacks. They got some big stops. It was the kind of game we talked about going into last season, right, where we said, hey, State's going to have to play and win some shootouts. They got into a shootout. They just didn't. They didn't get the last shot off. Tennessee did. They win the game. So if I'm looking at it from that perspective, look, it's disappointing. It's heartbreaking. It's heart-wrenching. I know that everybody from the maroon and white side of things, you know, it hurt to lose that game because you felt like you had an opportunity to make a massive statement. It's funny to think that, you know, Ole Miss has a huge win at home and puts themselves in position to, you know, go to the SEC championship game. But if State beats Tennessee, I think the story is, at the very least, is split kind of the way it was in 2014. And you have that Mississippi Mayhem Part 2. You didn't get there. But you're going to have a lot of opportunities this year. I've been saying it all week, and I'm going to say it again right here. Texas, Georgia, Missouri, we'll throw A&M in, and Ole Miss. One of those five games. State's going to win one of those five games. I don't know which one it is. I don't know, you know, how it's going to happen. I feel very confident that State is going to continue to improve and get better, and they're going to find a way to win one of those games. Mullen did it his first year. It ended up being the Egg Bowl. Jackie Sherrill did it his first year. And if you're talking about, we're talking about the successful coaches at Mississippi State. Jackie Sherrill did it his first year when he beat Texas and he beat LSU that year. That wasn't a good LSU team, but they beat Auburn that year. State's going to get one of these games, and that will be the moment where you can look at Mississippi State and say, okay, they've shaken off everything. They've moved forward from the death of Mike Leach, and that program is back on the road to respectability, back on the road to competing in the SEC, and we'll see if they can take advantage of a 12-team playoff and be a contender. We shall see. Dotson Big Four, 46 years of great vehicles and award-winning services. Are you looking for a new car? New or pre-owned, the best selection and the best service at Dotson Big Four in Tupelo. They have a legacy of trust and exceptional customer service. That's what you get when you've been in business for almost 5 decades. How long, Robbie? He's not here. But you know what I'm about to say. If you're looking for a new car today, go see our friends at Dotson Big Four on South Gloucester Street in Tupelo or visit them online, DotsonBig4.com. All right, so that was Tennessee. Let's look ahead to Texas A&M and explain why State can win that game and why I think one of these upset victories is coming to the Bulldogs. We'll talk about that when we come back. It's Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
If they call a celebration penalty on this, I'll shoot them.
I want to hear the lead singer's voice because I don't know this song. It's going to take us all the way into the next break. Who is that, Rhino?
Stargate.
Buddy, I would not have caught it. Okay. Didn't even know that was a band. I thought it was a TV show.
It's actually a metal cover of Age of Aquarius.
Oh, really? Oh, man. Okay. Okay. I'm in. I like that. Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi, presented by Yuengling Flight, brought to you by Dotson Big Four. Dotson Big Four in Tupelo, 46 years of serving their community with great vehicles and award-winning service. Their certified technicians in both the Honda and General Motors service centers dedicated to providing the best car care for your car. What are you looking for? A new GMC, a new Buick, a new Honda? The friendly team at Dotson Big Four is ready to help you find their perfect fit. Visit them online, DotsonBig4.com, or visit them at 628 South Gloucester Street in Tupelo. Mississippi State had two turnovers that turned directly into Tennessee touchdowns. They had 5 penalties, including one that called back a touchdown. They had a drop pass that would have been a touchdown in the second quarter. They missed a field goal that would have been the margin of victory in regulation had they made it. They made all of these mistakes. They had missed blocks. They had missed tackles. And despite all that, the game was tied at the end of regulation. So when people say, you know, what do I take from that game? That's what I take. That if I could take away one of those plays or change the outcome of one of those plays, even to the point where I'm just saying, look, if Chapin fumbles and Tennessee recovers it, but they don't take it for a score, they just fall on the ball and they got to start their possession there. I think State finds a way to win. And that is such a far cry from where we were a season ago, where when the game started, you knew that they couldn't go. And that's why I'm just confident in my belief that this team is going to not only go to a bowl game, I think they will definitely get 6 wins. Because I think they'll beat Florida, and I think they'll beat Arkansas. I'll just say that right now. But I think they'll win one more. And I don't know if it's going to be this weekend or next, or you know, the end of October or one of the big games in November, but I really do feel that right now. I feel like, you know, they've got a budding star in Fluff Bothwell. This is a guy who's a real SEC running back, but Devon Booth is too. You've got two good quality running backs. You Jeff Lebby, his offense always finds ways to run the football, and State's doing that right now. You've got quality receivers in Evans and Thompson. You need Aiden Williams to step up a little bit more. He had a big catch last week. You need a little bit more from him. You need him to be a guy who you can rely on for 3 or 4 catches a week. Defensively, as I mentioned previously, they're just so much better than they were a year ago. We talked about that in the offseason. We said, you know, they have to go from the worst defense to just below average. They're a little step above below average. They're probably just an average defense right this second. They stay there, you're just fine, right? There was never going to be a jump from the worst defense in the conference by this margin to a good defense. That was too much to ask in one offseason. But they have made an even bigger jump than I thought they were capable of. We said they got to go from 16th to like 11th or 10th. That's about where they're going to be. If they play at the rate they're playing right now, that's where they'll probably end up. And, you know, if you can do that, you're going to be just fine. Total defense right now in Mississippi State is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. They're ninth. They're ninth. 300. Wait a second. Oh, this is backwards. Then that means they're seventh. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. They're eighth. They're eighth. Don't ask me to count. They're eighth. If they stay eighth the whole time, they're going to be just fine. They're giving up just over 305 yards a game. I know the Alcorn game is kind of skewing that a little bit, but last year they gave up a ton of yards. They gave up well over 300 yards to the FCS team they played. So that's all. It's all part of the improvement. They've been better in every game than they were a year ago. A&M is an interesting team this week. They've been pretty good offensively. They haven't been great. They were really good against Notre Dame. Now, what we've learned is outside of the Arkansas game, Notre Dame is not great defensively, so moving the football on them is not like a huge accomplishment, but A&M has been really good. Their skill position core is one of the best in the conference. Marcel Reed has been good this year. Le'Veon Moss, we know what kind of running back he is. And the two transfer receivers, obviously we know Mario Craver, Casey Concepcion, have been outstanding. Craver's best receiver in the country through five games. I always knew the talent was there. It was just about him getting his head on straight. He's done that to this point. I just think that, by and large, A&M is, they're better too. They're better than they were a year ago. Now, remember, early in the season last year, A&M was really good. And they had a chance to be in the FCC championship game, but then they A&M'd it. This team, you know, it's still early, but they've already exercised a couple of demons from last year by beating Notre Dame and beating Auburn, two teams that beat them a year ago. This game's going to be on the road. State's, you know, when you look at state schedule, they've already played a road game, but I think I'm not doing anybody any disrespect by saying there's a difference between playing in Hattiesburg, where State had a nice crowd, by the way. They had a good crowd there. There's a difference between playing there and then playing in College Station. You know, there's going to be about 80,000 more people there. And while they will be wearing maroon, I don't know how much maroon they're wearing. It's a blackout this weekend. I don't know. I don't understand. I guess I get it, but I don't know what State's wearing either. I bet they wear white helmets again. I wonder if they rock the same uniform, if they do the interlocking again. I don't know the answer. We're waiting on the injury report, obviously. We'll see how that comes out. It'll come out about 15, 20 minutes after we go off the air here. I expect to see Albert Reese's name on the injury report. I expect to see Isaac Smith's name. I expect to see Brandon Thompson's name. It's just a question of what designation do they get. If those guys can all go, State's going to have a great chance. I think the one who's the least replaceable is Albert Reese. The difference in State's being able to run the football in the Tennessee game from him being in to him being out was quite noticeable. Brennan Thompson, you'd like to have that big playability out there, because if you don't have him, you really need Aiden Williams to step up at that point. And then Isaac Smith, incredibly, somehow, I never would have guessed it, of those three is the most replaceable. But you definitely want him on the field. He's your best defensive player. I don't know who's going to play. I don't know. Levy, going into this week, or actually started it last week, said, you know, I'll let the injury report do the talking. So he was really good about injury report stuff the first 4 weeks, but now that there's going to be one, he's just going to let that happen. That said, and Robbie Faulk asked him about it at the press conference on Monday, I think Levy, if somebody was going to be out for an extended period or out for the season, would come out and just throw that out at us. You know, he did that with Blake Steen and Will Whitson. Granted, there was no injury report, but I think if Reese or Smith were going to be out for 8 to 10 weeks or something like that, I think Lebby would tell us that. So I expect those guys to be back, but you know, with a bye week next week, I just feel like I feel like you could see some of those guys not play this week just to try to keep them as healthy as possible going into the second half and the stretch run of the season. But if State plays a clean game against Texas A&M, they will go into the fourth quarter with a chance to win. The spread, I think, is up to 14. I don't think A&M's covering that spread. State's covered every game this year. They covered the Egg Bowl last year, so they've covered, what, six in a row? They did not cover the Missouri game last year, I know that. But even last year, State was, I mean, I'm pretty sure they covered against A&M. They only lost by 10. And I think that speaks to Lebby and the fact that his team's net, they really don't have that any give up in them. Which, you know, when you're last year, that would have been easy to have some. This year, I feel like his biggest strength to me as a coach has been his ability to get his teams to forget whatever happened the week before and move on to the next thing. Against Arizona, against Alcorn, it would have been really easy for State to be hung over and come out and play sloppy at the beginning and then just pull away late. They dominated the game from the first snap. It would be really easy in this game to still be in your feelings about what happened against Tennessee. I don't expect that at all. I expect State to play sharp from the first play of the game. And I think that State has a great chance to pull off an upset here if they play a clean game. But that's going to be the key. If you're going to be watching football this weekend, do it with a Yuengling flight in hand. It is the perfect beer for those Mississippi game days. When you're out in the backyard working the grill, an ice-cold Yuengling flight is what you want to be drinking. But enjoy it responsibly. Yuengling flight, brewed for those who never settle. America's newest light beer from America's oldest brewery, Yuengling flight. There's a quarterback debate in Starkville. I asked the question, why? Let's talk about that when we come back. Why is there such a move to change quarterbacks here in Starkville? We'll do it when we come back. It's Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Hey, this is Bob. Just
and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Thunder and Lightning Live is presented by Yuengling Flight, the next generation of light beer. Cold, crisp, but only 95 calories and 2.6 grams of carbs. Means if you're tailgating in the Junction and enjoying a Yuengling Flight, you can have an extra rib and not even feel bad about it. Brewed for those who never settle, enjoy responsibly, Yuengling Flight. Mississippi State, Mississippi State is 4-1 on the season. They've already hit the over from Las Vegas on wins. The number was 3.5. That you can cash that ticket if you bet. Before the month of October, they had that one done. Offensively, currently in the conference, they are 9th. Not bad. Not terrible. 430 yards a game. Why are so many Mississippi State fans ready to pull the plug on Blake Shapen and move over to a true freshman? I want to say all this. I see the future with Kamario Taylor. I see it. All right. I told this story on the podcast. Last Saturday, I sat next to a scout from the Green Bay Packers, and he was telling me that when he was downstairs, down on the field, watching warm-ups, he was watching Shapen, and then Kamario threw the ball, and his response was, "Who the F is that?" He used the full word. And he was just like, I mean, you can see it. You can see the talent. The ceiling is super, super high. I understand all of that. But the team is winning. Why would you upset the apple cart? If the team was 1-4 or 2-3, I would tell you, yeah, just go ahead and pull the plug and go with this kid and let him take his knocks. But if he's not gonna, if you're not 2-3, you're 4-1. Why would you make a change? Why would you want to do that? I'm gonna say this, and I've said it quite a few times. The relationship between Jeff Lebby and Blake Shapen is as close as any quarterback coach relationship that I can remember. And I was here with Mullen and Dak. Those two guys really feel like extensions of each other. They almost have like a big brother, little brother kind of relationship. Levy's not changing quarterbacks unless Shapen gets hurt. So if you are a Mississippi State fan who's going to bang the table, we should change quarterbacks, you are wasting every breath in your body doing that. It's just not going to happen. But also, why would it happen? The team is winning. And Blake Shapen is not the reason that State lost on Saturday. Did he play his best game? He did not. Did he play better than his opposing quarterback, which I said last week was a big key? He did not. But is he the reason State lost? He was not. The sack, the strip sack, not his fault. What could he do? As soon as he hasn't even completed his drop when there was a guy on him. State did not do a good enough job of protecting him. They gave up too many sacks for him to be successful. That's where this starts for Mississippi State. I think Kamara Taylor is going to end up being a tremendous quarterback. And I don't think that State needs to redshirt him, because for two reasons. One, I don't believe the redshirt's going to really be a thing for much longer. I think they're just going to tell everybody you got 5 years. Also think that Kamara Taylor is going to be talented enough that maybe he doesn't want to stay for 4 years. But I also just don't think that he's ready. If there's one thing I believe about Jeff Lebby, is that he knows his quarterback. And if he thought that Kamara Taylor was the better option, he would have been in there already. But you've got to, I do agree with the premise that you got to get him more snaps. Short yardage should be Kamara Taylor time. You keep running that QB power enough, and eventually there's going to be a time where you can throw out of it, and there's going to be a wide open receiver. I will tell you this, just from my own thoughts, if State had scored on Saturday in the overtime, I'm bringing Taylor in for the 2-point conversion, and I'm going to run a jump pass. And I don't know if State, I don't even know if State has that in the past. I don't know if they practiced it. I don't know if it exists in the playbook. That's just my first thought was I would run a jump pass because it would be wide open. Everybody in the stadium would think he's keeping that ball, and it would be open. Skipping Pearl in the C Spire text line. My guess is a portion of State fans are impatient. They shouldn't be. Again, I would get it if the team was losing. I would understand wanting to make the change, but the team is winning. Like that, why the impatience? I don't know. Get him more snaps. That's the answer. I agree with that. I absolutely agree with that. Third and two, bring him in. Third and one, second and two. I just don't know how much you can disrupt your offense. You know, if it's second and six, I don't want to make a change there. I want to keep Shapen in there. I want to have the full playbook available to me. I get it, though. Tyler Corn says, let him throw the dang ball. I definitely want to see him find some more passing plays. I absolutely want to see that. There are enough scenarios that you can put Kamario Taylor in that he can be successful without having to do a full-on gimmick offense or make a quarterback change. You don't have to do that. Blake Shapen, and this is something I said, I feel like I've said it a lot. Like, Blake Shapen's the quarterback of this team. We had somebody on the text line ask about Luke Krummenhawk. They've just given up on him. It's not that I've given up on him. I think he's talented. But it's obvious that Kamario Taylor has passed him. He's the more talented guy. You'll go into next spring. They'll have a quarterback battle. And they'll either Krummenhawk will be there or he won't. Yeah, I know they've got the new window. But that being said, if you listen to the interview we did with Charles Huff, it's not like Luke Krummenhawk can't just say, I'm going to unenroll from Mississippi State and go somewhere else, because he absolutely can do that. And then that school will find a way to, you know, make sure he's not actually paying for anything. It'll happen. And then State will probably have to, if he leaves prior to that, then State has to kind of do what Lane Kiffin did this year and find an experienced backup who's just happy to have an SEC offer. Now, Kiffin struck the jackpot and found a guy that not only was happy to be there, just happens to be really, really good. I don't know if State could have the same luck or not. Chapin can run and make almost every throw. Outside of Dak, who have we had that can do that? Fix the O-line. I'm a Chapin fan. Just take care of the ball. I agree. Chapin can make every throw on the field. But if you don't give him time to throw, no quarterback can be successful. No quarterback on that strip sack play is making that play. He's not even out of his drop when he's getting hit. Kamara Taylor gets sacked. Probably he may not have fumbled. That might be the only thing you could say. He might not have fumbled. He might have been strong enough to hold on to the ball, but probably not because it was a violent hit. Clean but violent hit. And he's probably going to cough it up one way or the other. Chapin has, he does have a couple of, the interception was a bad throw. The interception he threw at Southern Mississippi was a bad throw. The one against Alcorn, I can kind of let it go. He got hit. He got hit and the ball floats up on him. I can let that one slide. But Chapin's been good enough this year for State to win every game they've played. I think that Mississippi State fans think that they're going to bring in Kamara Taylor and he's just going to be like from day one be like Cam Newton. And that's just not the case. And if it was the case, and Jeff Lebby's not playing him, then you've got a bigger problem. You got a head coach that doesn't know what he's doing. I think Jeff Lebby knows what he's doing. But I've never seen this much like got to change quarterbacks for a team that's 4-1. That for a team that people that Vegas said is going to win three games or less this year. And now everybody's like, well, this isn't the difference between State being in the playoff or not. I think that Taylor can win you games from the role you give him, but I don't think that he can be your starting quarterback just yet. Chapin on the season is completing 66% of his passes. He's thrown 8 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. I mean, I can't argue with that too much. Those are good numbers. And Chapin is, a guy who's played in big environments before, so going into this weekend, you definitely want him under center. I just feel like I feel like Mississippi State fans, I think the portal is part of it. I think people are just worried that he's going to go in the portal. I want you to trust old Brian Haydad on one something, right? As long as Mississippi State takes care of Kamara Taylor from an NIL perspective, and they absolutely will take care of him from an NIL perspective, Kamara Taylor will be at Mississippi State, right? He grew up down the road. His family played here. He wants to be a Bulldog. He likes Jeff Lebby. He respects him. He believes in him. He knows that Jeff Lebby's system is perfect for his skill set. He's not going to go anywhere as long as the money's right. And the money's going to be right, so I'm just not concerned about it. But I understand. Brian, I've been a fan of yours and the Bulldogs for years, but bro, you're wrong on this one. Take Chapin out. Imagine thinking this. They're 4-1. What happens if Taylor comes in and he's not good? Then what do? You think you can just go back to Chapin? You can't. No. You're wrong on this one, my friend. Absolutely, you should stay where you are with Blake Chapin going forward. Dawson Big Four, 46 years of great vehicles and award-winning service. Find your next vehicle today. Visit them online at DawsonBig4.com or stop by their convenient location at 628 South Gloucester Street in Tupelo. If you're looking for a new car, a pre-owned vehicle, they have a great selection. Go check them out, DawsonBig4.com. We'll wrap it up when we come back. It's Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
I'm here with David Baroni.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
You called down the thunder. Well, now you got it.
All right, let's wrap it up here on Thunder and Lightning Live, Super Talk Mississippi, presented by Yuengling Flight, brought to you by Dawson Big Four. I'm Brian Haydad. Rhino is currently, you know, he's checking both windows right there, making sure we're good to park. And we'll call in an evening in just a few minutes. I learned something today that I did not know. I didn't know that you could release the full baseball schedule in October on October 1st and put first pitch times on there. Didn't know that. That's exactly what Mississippi State did today, and I want to thank them for it. The Brian O'Connor era will begin February 13th at Duty Noble Field against Hofstra. The Flying Dutchman, I believe, are the mascot there. 4 p.m. first pitch. See, what you do is you set the first pitch time, and then if you know you got weather, you could change it. It's too cold, and you want to, you know, hey, we probably don't want to have people in the stadium after dark. All right, move it up to 1. Get rained out. Well, we got to figure that out. But you put it on there so people can make their plans. You don't make them wait till the week of. Very excited to see that. This is, I will tell you, this is not the the most challenging non-conference slate. I do like the tournament they're in, the I hope I'm pronouncing it, Amici Bank College Baseball Series. They'll play in Arlington at Globe Life Field against Arizona State, Virginia Tech, and UCLA. UCLA is a really good team, probably at the preseason top 10 team. Two games with USM, one in Hattiesburg, one in Starkville. But you look at the weekend series in the non-conference: Hofstra, Delaware, Lipscomb. Not a lot there, right? They do play Tulane. In Biloxi. They only play one game this year in Biloxi down at Keesler Federal Park, but that will be against the Tulane Green Wave. The bottom line is, though, State's conference schedule is so jam-packed that it doesn't really matter. All State has to do is win its games. If they win their non-conference games, if they don't have any slip-ups, they're going to be just fine. They just got to win conference games. Because when you have Arkansas, Tennessee, Vanderbilt, Ole Miss, Georgia, LSU, Texas, Auburn, Texas A&M, you'll be just fine on the RPI scale. You win enough conference games, you'll host. You don't have to worry about it. As long as you don't have the bad losses, which under Brian O'Connor, I just, call me crazy, I think they'll do a better job in the non-conference than they've done in years past. So, February 13th, so a Valentine's weekend. I'll miss the second game. Because that's Mississippi State Ole Miss is that night in Oxford for basketball. But I don't think the science is going to be too big of a problem in that one, though. Call me crazy. Also, next week, just looking ahead to what we're going to do on the Thunder and Lightning podcast. If you're a loyal Thunder and Lightning podcast listener, and I hope you are, and I hope you're subscribed to my podcast and Michael Borky's podcast, The Rebel Report, and to the Eagle Hour, if you're a Golden Eagle, and to the Sports Talk Mississippi podcast, so you can get all of that good information. If you know that every year we call it the bye week blitz, when we you know, when football's off, we like to take a look at the other sports. There's two bye weeks this year, so we're going to kind of split it up. But next week I am scheduled to meet and talk with Coach Chris Jans and Coach Sam Purcell. But also we're going to leave Coach Brian O'Connor until after fall ball. We'll talk to him in November around that bye week. But I am going to talk to Ace Reese next week, and I think that's going to be a very interesting conversation to talk to the Bulldog All-American candidate who's back for his for another year here in Starkville, and for a team and a roster that is, I mean, it looks on paper like it's going to be one of the best teams in this country. And I don't see any reason why it wouldn't be, just based on the talent coming back, the talent added in, and the coaching staff they put forward. This, you know, I will be disappointed if this is a... it's tough to say Omaha because, I mean, you just never know. But this is a team that on paper should be contending to host a super regional. And if you can put yourself in that position, that's as good as you can hope for in terms of getting to the College World Series. This guy is really big on two things. One, using more letters than is necessary to spell a word. There's not 6 P's and up. But secondly, he's just not a Chapin fan. I mean, I get it. Taylor needs to show if he's the future of the Oasis franchise. But, I mean, it's about winning games, man. This isn't a rebuild of an NFL team where Taylor's going to be here for a decade. It's about winning games this year. Jeff Lebby needs to win games this year. If he finishes 4-8, no one's gonna be excited about going forward. You've got to win games this year. Kamario Taylor does not give you the best chance to do that. Simple as that. It really is that simple. So, all right, guys. Another good Wednesday with you. I appreciate it. I don't appreciate Michael Borky not talking about us, but that's for another day. I'll deal with him tomorrow on Sports Talk Mississippi, where we will be live at the Sanderson. Looking forward to it. So I get to see. Oh, I'm going to see him face to face. I'm going to give him the what for. Don't you worry about that. Thanks to Rhino, as always, the best producer in the game. As always, appreciate you guys tuning in on a Wednesday evening. We have been presented by Yuengling Flight. We have been brought to you by Dossett Big Four. This has been Thunder and Lightning live on Super Talk Mississippi. I'll see you tomorrow in Jackson.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.